We were in Mark chapter 6 last month, and that's where we are today. But last time we met, I talked about Herod Antipas and how he had John the Baptist arrested, and how his wife, who was his brother's wife, and that was a whole mess, and how she had him murdered while he was in prison. We also took a look at the pagan lifestyle of Herod and its contrast to a godly lifestyle. And we saw the results of both of those lives. We looked at the characteristics of Herod. I looked at that. We talked about the characteristics of Herodias. We looked at John the Baptist. And concerning John the Baptist's character, I did make a point, and I said this. I said that John, he was called by God at a very young age, and he was faithful to that call all the way to his life. He stayed committed and faithful to that calling. Also, I said about John the Baptist that in spite of all of the revilings that he had, all of the imprisonment that he had, all the way up to his murder, he voiced his opposition to sin in the ranks. He didn't give in, okay? Another thing I mentioned about John I thought was important is that he stood faithful to Jesus in spite of all that he would lose by remaining faithful to God. And we also looked at, in that portion of scripture, we also looked at and witnessed a miracle of Jesus of feeding about 5,000 men, which was quite amazing. And I talked about that miracle, and I had shown, we had seen through the word, Jesus had compassion for the people. And he was going to show his disciples, and he did, that meeting the spiritual needs of the people, because he was teaching them and everything, and then he went and fed them, that his meeting the spiritual needs of the people and meeting the physical needs of the people was nothing to him. God can do it all. And he showed them that, and he showed them why he did it, because he had compassion and he was concerned for the people. Now, this miracle taught us a couple of lessons, and we talked about that last month, that whatever the needs of the people were, and there were a lot of needs there, right? The disciples were to learn to bring those needs to Jesus, and then Jesus would take care of them. And we learned that lesson about bringing our needs to the Lord. And also concerning being used, because he was teaching his guys how to be used and servants. He says, we talked about, and I had mentioned, that if you give God whatever you have, whether it's 5 loaves or 2 fish, whatever it is, whatever you give to God, God will use it. And if you don't give it, you're going to miss out on the miracle. So we talked about that. And all of that comes and catches us up to Mark chapter 6, verse 45. And that's where we're going to start. But let me ask God's blessing. Father, your word is our staple in life. It is our food. Your word is that which we need that will get us through the toughest and darkest times of our life. Your word is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. So today, speak to us as only you can. Holy Spirit, instruct us and guide us along the way through your word, we ask this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Look at verse 45, and it says here, now this is after the miracle of the feeding of the about 5,000 men. It says in verse 45, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now, notice something in verse 45. Look at it. It says, immediately he made his disciples. Has the Lord ever made you do anything? Has the Lord ever made you do something in your life and make you do it immediately? I don't know. But as a disciple, don't be surprised, okay, if the Lord points you in the direction of doing something and wants you to do it immediately. And it could be anything. One time I was witnessing to a young man, college age, and I'm telling him about the Lord. I'm telling him, and he wants to listen. And I pulled out my Bible and I showed him. I said to him, you know that your very sins that you have, because you don't know Jesus, you're one day going to die and you're going to face God and you're going to have to be accountable for all of the sins that you have committed. And you don't have enough money in your bank to pay your way out of hell because the wages of sin is death. So the young man looks at me and he's listening and he's reading the scriptures and he's nodding his head in agreement. And I says, now, what do you want to do? He says, I don't want that. I says, you don't want Jesus? He says, no, I don't want Jesus. And I was like, close my Bible, says, okay, you don't want him? What can I do? I'm not going to twist your arm. So all of a sudden, just before I'm to leave, immediately in my heart, I felt the Lord said, tell him why he doesn't want me. So I turned around to him and I says, you know what? I know why you don't want Jesus. And he says, what? I says, because you like your sin. You like where you are in your sin. You're comfortable in your sin. You enjoy your sin. You're having fun in your sin and you don't want to get out of it. He looked at me and I says, okay, see you later. And then off I went. You never know what God will have you do immediately. So he tells his disciples, right? He said, immediately he made his disciples, verse 45, right? And so they were to get into the boat. Look what it says also in verse 45. It says, he made his disciples go before him to the other side. Now, think of this. Jesus was physically going to be separated from his disciples at this time, right? Physically. But unlike the disciples at that time, okay, for us disciples, due to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, right? Due to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, as us believers, right, we never ever have to worry about being alone. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ in the ascension, the Holy Spirit has come. And when you become born again, God's Spirit dwells in us. So for us, we believers will never, ever be alone. Now I got it here. Jesus is going to be over here. The disciples are going to be over here. And he's physically separated from them. But for us today, never, ever will we be separated from the Lord. So whatever we may be going through, whatever we are told to go through, God is with us because he is living inside of us and he's working all things out for our good. Why? Simply because he has compassion and simply because he loves us. We're never, ever, ever going to be alone. Now, notice something else in verse 45. It says here that he told them to get into the boat and off they go, right? Now, the boat that they got into was an authorized boat to be in. They can be in that boat. It wasn't a stolen boat or anything. It was an authorized boat, authorized by Jesus. Second thing, the location that the men were heading on, right, and where they would eventually end up on, okay, this was an authorized location or an authorized path authorized by Jesus. Third thing, the purpose or the mission given to these guys, even though they may not know it all right up front, but the mission, the purpose, the directive that they were to go on was an authorized directive, authorized by Jesus. Now, let's stop for a second and apply this to our Christian life. Think this through with me. Symbolically speaking, right, is the boat that you're in authorized by Jesus? The path that you and I are following in life, the way that we make decisions in our life, right? Where are we heading in life? Is that authorized by the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that the godly path he's placed us on? And here's the third thing. Is the reason that I am in the boat and I'm heading in this certain direction, making this decision in life, is that due to an authorized directive that Jesus Christ told me to do? Wow. Here's a quote. The day we get into a self-authorized boat on a self-authorized path by a self-authorized directive is a day we will shortly sink. Yes, we will. Look at verse 46 that we read. It said, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now, have you noticed through scripture in your Bible reading, have you noticed that Jesus often got away to pray? Did you notice that? Jesus is always getting away to pray somewhere. Now, notice that even though prayer is a two-way communication, right? Prayer is not just one way. Prayer is two-way communication, right? But even though it's a two-way communication, we learn something here just by looking at these couple of verses about prayer. Who initiated this prayer? Jesus did. Jesus initiated the, I know it's two-way, but he initiated the prayer. In Luke 18:1, Jesus told us a parable which emphasized that men ought to pray always and not lose heart. He initiated prayer. Now, who was Jesus praying to here? He is praying to the Father. Remember what Jesus told us. He says, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. John 16:23. So not only did Jesus initiate prayer, he knew he was praying to in faith, right? Third thing, Jesus took advantage of the alone time that he had now to get alone with the Father. Oh, I know life was hectic. All of those people all around. Can you imagine all those people? Everything going on. And what happened? Well, as soon as he got this couple of minutes, oh, now I'm going to take a nap. No. He got alone with the Lord. Very important. Listen to this. But you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Mark 6:6. Amazing. Isn't that something? I love it. All right, let's move on here. Let's look at verse 47. Okay, so Jesus is there. He's on the mountain, departed to the mountain to pray. Verse 47. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now, let's stop there just for 1 minute. Any way that you look at this situation, the disciples were alone without Jesus, right? Because he's there, they're here in the middle of the sea there, right? So any way that you look at this, these guys are alone without Jesus. They are in trouble. They are in a difficult situation. They are in a hazardous situation or predicament. Any way you look at it, they're struggling, right? Things are not going so good. Now, earlier, right, as we saw earlier, this trip was all authorized by the Lord. The boat, the mission, everything, right? Everything was authorized by the Lord. So, according to Jesus' plan, they were supposed to get to the other side. No matter what was going to happen, this trip was an authorized trip by the Lord. You and I might be placed in a situation in life, okay, that we feel just like the disciples felt, alone. You and I might be in a place that we might feel is hazardous, dangerous, troubling, the situation that we might be in, and we might feel alone. But remember what we said earlier. Who lives inside of us? We're never alone. No matter what. Now, this event that we read here, I know is familiar to you guys. This account that the Holy Spirit inspires, Jesus, we read about, was walking on the water, right? And this is eyewitness by Matthew and is told to Mark as he writes the gospel. But you notice what he leaves out here in Mark? He leaves out Peter's walking on the water. You notice this in this one? He leaves it out. So we're just going to bypass that one right now. And we're just going to move along and speak on what is shown to us from Mark. So the winds are against them. Look at the rest of that verse 48. Now, about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. and would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." Now, notice how Jesus came to his own here, even without them asking him to come. Nowhere will you see that they prayed for him to come, but Jesus came to them without them even asking him, without them even calling him. Now, when they were in difficulty and trouble and hadn't called out for his help, Jesus came to his own to help them. Why? I mean, we always say, cry out to the Lord when you're in trouble, right? When you're in need, call on the Lord. These guys were in need, but they didn't call out. But yet he came to them. Why? The why is found in verse 48, the first part of that. He saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Guys, he saw them. Now let's stop for a minute and let's apply this to us. In the days and weeks ahead of your life, I want to ask you, are you in a difficulty, even today? Are you at your wit's end? Are the waters of life filling up your boat and you can't keep up with the inflow of the water? And it looks like your only option is gonna sink. And however, for whatever reason, you haven't called out on the Lord. You haven't prayed and say, "Help." Let me encourage you with two things. Christians, let me encourage you, born again believers that are struggling through whatever it is you're dealing with. And I know life can be very difficult. And sometimes it's like we forget to call on the Lord. But let me encourage you with two things right here out of verse 48. Then he saw them straining. Jesus sees you in whatever difficulties you're going through. All that Jesus has paid for this relationship, for you and him to be bonded together, that no one can break, that nothing can ever separate you from, do you think what you're going through right now, whether you've called out or not, is going to separate you from him? Nothing will separate you. Whatever reason that we haven't called out, the Lord will still come to our aid because he sees us straining. And then the second part of that from verse 48 is he came to them. You can be guaranteed God will show up. He will show up. Oh, but I don't see it. He will show up. The circumstances don't paint that picture. He will show up. It is too difficult, Rich. You don't know the hazardousness of this job. You don't know the danger. You don't know the hurt. You don't know the pain. Oh, he will show up. Now, we're going to move on to verse 49, but before I do and point out something out of there, I want us to point our eyes to God. I want to see a picture of the Lord from the scriptures. Put your finger in Psalm 89. Go to Psalm 89. And I'm going to give you three scriptures to put your fingers on. So we're going to do a little work today. Go to Psalm 89. And I want you to put your finger there. Soon as you get to Psalm 89, I want you to go to Psalm 107. Okay? I want you to go to Psalm 107. And keep your finger there. You're going to have to do some juggling because we got one more verse to go. And then I want you to move forward in your Bible to Jonah. I want you to go past the major prophets. I want you to go past Isaiah, past Jeremiah. I want you to go past Ezekiel, past Daniel. I want you to go into the minor prophets. Keep moving through Joel, moving through Amos. I want you to land, you'll see Obadiah, and I want you to land on Jonah. And I want you to go to chapter 2 of Jonah. And I want you to keep your finger there. And what I want to do here is, before I get into verse 49 of Mark, is I want to point our eyes and see God in a wonderful way that the scripture depicts him at. So Psalm 89, I want you to look at verse 9, and let's look at this. Look at verse 9 of Psalm 89. You rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. Read that one more time. You rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. 107, and I want you to look at verse 29. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. One more time. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Now Jonah, look at chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth, which is bars, closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pray what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto the land, to the dry land. Now, just reading those three scriptures, did you get a picture of who God is? You can turn back to Mark. Did you get a picture of how wonderful he is? I don't know, did you get a picture of how great he is? How about how awesome he is? Did you get a picture of how forgiving and loving he is? Did you see that there is nothing in just those few scriptures that he cannot do? Did you see also he's above all things? I don't know if you saw it, but did you see him high and lifted up by just those few scriptures? Now look at verse 49 back in Mark chapter 6. Let's put all this together. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out. When they saw him, Jesus, walking on the sea. Guys, nobody walks on the sea. Have you seen anybody do that? Nobody walks on the sea, David. Nobody traverses the waves. Nobody navigates a path through the ocean on foot. Nobody controls the elements like you see here to make a place for his feet. Nobody controls. Nobody rises above the storm to walk on and to walk above the storm. Nobody does this. Nobody can do this except Jesus. He's the only one that can do this. So I ask you, in the midst of your life on this earth today, right here, right now in Belleville, Illinois, whatever you're going through right now, I don't know what you're going through, but whatever it is, how do you see Jesus? How do you see him? I hope by just those few verses that we read in Psalms and Jonah, as it depicted him, I hope that you see him as he really is. Because if you do, the amount of joy that comes with that to get through what you're going through will be unbelievable. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. So I encourage you, spend some time with the Lord. Get to know him a little bit better, even through the toughest times of your life. All right, verse 50. Let's move along here. Verse 50. For they all saw him and were troubled, but immediately he talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. So he says in verse 50, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. Now, remember we looked at how God the Holy Spirit lives inside all of us believers. So that is a fact. It's Christ in us. He's living inside of us. And remember that we concluded that Jesus is always with us and he'll never leave us. Never. Therefore, if that is a fact, and it is, however our life is today as a Christian, whatever it is that we're going through, whether you are about to enter a storm, whether you're in a storm, or maybe you just got out of a storm. Congratulations. Either way, all right? Let me encourage you with Jesus' words. Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Do you know that in the Bible, it's constantly reiterated to us about not being afraid? How many times have you read in the Bible it says, do not fear? I mean, we could go through it and, you know, someone has written and said that is, you'll find that phrase, do not be afraid, fear not, about 365 times. Actually, he said 366 times he found it because it's one for every day plus one extra. But either way, however many times it is, the Lord is encouraging us. I am telling you. That's what the Lord is saying. I am telling you. I see what you're going through. I see the straining. And whether you called on me or not, I'm going to come to you. He says, and when I come to you, I'm going to tell you something. It is I. Don't be afraid. So here, all of these disciples were in the boat. He sees them. He comes to them. And he gives them his word, it is I, do not be afraid. Now, this is like a prescription, verse 50. It's like a prescription. If you were sick, someone was telling me, Chris, he was telling me the doctor gave him a prescription for something, right? Well, spiritually, the Lord gives us prescriptions. It could be in the middle of the day, middle of the night. It could be a scripture. He pops into your brain. You could open the scripture, whatever. He gives you a prescription. Now, if a doctor gave you a prescription for your toothache, wouldn't you take that to get that? You know, yeah, you're tough. You're a Marine. You could take it, right? I'll take it. No, just kidding. But you would take the prescription. It makes sense. So when the Lord gives you a prescription, I encourage you to take it. If he says it is I, if he tells you don't fear, if he tells you I'm going to be with you, trust him. Take it. If you ingest that prescription, you take that prescription and you eat it, remember, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, right? So if we take that prescription and we ingest it, I am telling you, he knows exactly what you need, when you need it, and how much you need. He's the perfect doctor to get us through. So I love verse 50 as a prescription for me when I'm going through some very difficult times. Now, let's look at, as we're coming to a close here, we're going to look at how things ended up for the disciples. All right, so let's read on verse 51. Okay, so he tells them, don't be afraid. Be of good cheer. It is I. Right? Do not be afraid, verse 51. Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled. I believe that they saw Jesus like they have never saw him before. I believe right here is a revelation of Jesus Christ these disciples had of Jesus. Now, let me ask you, was this the best time of their life that they saw a revelation of Jesus? No way. This is the toughest time in their life. So I encourage you again, if you're going through a tough time, don't be surprised if God is going to give you a fresh revelation of himself. And 9 times out of 10, it comes right out of the Word of God. It comes right from your devotional times. It's right from the times that you're spending with the Lord in the tough times. Let me tell you something. When you're going through the tough times, the enemy works hard on you. He doesn't want you to read the Bible. He doesn't want you to pray. He doesn't want you to have fellowship. He doesn't want you to pray for the things you've been praying for all week when you were feeling great, cutting your lawn. Oh, I'm cutting my lawn. Everything's great. It's a beautiful day. Oh, Lord, bless my family. Watch over them and watch over. Then you give me favor and you cut your grass. And all of a sudden, you know, the world comes on you and everything, you know, the boat's filling up with water in your life. And you forget to pray. Don't do that. That's a trick of the enemy. You stay strong in your prayer. Stay strong in your fellowship. Don't stop fellowshipping, okay? Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner is with some, especially in these last days. So here we are. They are in the boat, verse 51. And here they get a fresh revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 52. For they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hard. Now we know that they had fed about 5,000 men, and it's not including anybody else that was hanging around, so you got to add, but still about 5,000 men, and they had done an amazing miracle. Who's the only one that can do that? God. So I think they missed something here. Verse 53. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him and ran through that whole surrounding region and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to where they heard he was. So here we have all of these people coming and gathering together to see what was going on and to see Jesus, and they recognized him. Now, where the boat finally anchored, amazing results occurred for the disciples as well, but also for the people that were there. They got through this very difficult time. They got through this very difficult storm. And the end result of where they got through, everything they went through, was a blessing to the disciples, and it was a blessing to all of the people that gathered around. But you didn't see that in the beginning, or you didn't see that in the storm. The only thing you were focused on was the storm. The disciples were only focused on the storm. Jesus knew that when they were to get to where they were supposed to go in the first place, it was going to be a blessed time, a time where God was going to meet the needs of people. Now think about this for you and me. When we go through the difficulties of our life, sometimes we don't look at the end of what God is going to use, right? We also see, oh, Lord, I'm going through a tough, just get me out of here. I can't wait for you to come back. I mean, that's my prayer all the time. But I mean, you know, Lord, help me. Yet, think about whatever it is you're going through, that when you come out on the other end of that, God's going to use that to be a blessing, not only for you, but for others. And we see it here in this village. And another thing we saw here is that they recognized Jesus, right? Now, I got it. The Lord is not with us, you know, physically to be seen, but the Lord is in us. And when we come to that place where God is bringing us, will people recognize the Jesus in our life? Will they see him, and will they come to him for that need? Will they come to us and say, hey, will you pray for me? Will you keep this on your prayer list? Or will you, you know, share a scripture with me, or whatever it is the Lord is going to use you for? So it was quite amazing what happened as they anchored the ship and as they exited the ship and as the people saw them. So verse 55, we finished up. We read that. Verse 56, It says, wherever he entered, into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. Now, he entered a lot of different places, and the disciples were with him. These guys, I'm sure, were wore out from the journey coming across the sea. I'm sure they were wore out from feeding over 5,000 men. But yet when he gets there, I don't know if there's a gap in time of rest or whatever, but when he gets there, there's a lot of work to do. It seems like the Lord has us doing work when we would rather be resting. You know, and sometimes we would like to, Lord, let me just close my eyes a little bit. Let me just rest and let me just take it easy. And the Lord is like, Rich, let's get up and let's get busy. Let's get doing something for me. It's amazing how the Lord just takes us. And you know what? A lot of times I find out is the Lord gives me the strength as I make that effort to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it. What I love to see when I come to church, and I know you guys see the same thing, is when we come to church and we share in fellowship, a lot of us share about the things we're going through the week. Tough times, things of difficulty, but yet you're here. And you know what it kind of reminded me of? You could probably relate to this, those of you who've been in the military. A lot of times you could be out, busy, working for your job, and then there's always the headquarters to come back to. And you sort of make that long journey back, and you are tired, and you get back. And then when you get back, you sit down there with your buddies, and you start sharing about the things you went through. And you catch your breath, and you get strengthened, and then you go back out again. That's what it seems like to happen in church, doesn't it? So don't ever feel that, you know, you're too tired or you're too hurt or you're too whatever to fellowship with the family and be together. It is a lot of strength. Okay, let's move along. We're coming to a close. It says, wherever he entered, verse 56, our last verse, into the villages, cities, and countries, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well. Now, you know, I know a lot of Pharisees and a lot of the Sadducees and a lot of the scribes and the religious were walking around that area. And I bet you, I know not one of them ever called out to a Pharisee that was walking past them. Pharisee, come and heal me. Pharisee, let me just touch the hem of your garment. All of these people knew exactly who to call on, and they knew exactly who to touch. And it's Jesus. No matter what these people were going through, they knew who to turn to. Now, we as Christians, no matter what we are going through, we know who to turn to, don't we? His name is Jesus. Let's pray. Let's ask God's blessing. Father, we want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you. We want to thank you that you have encouraged the disciples, and the end result of their life is seen through the Gospels and through Acts and through the epistles. We see the product of what it is to go through a tough time and yet stay and remain faithful to you. You've done it for them and you've blessed them, and Lord, you're doing it for us, and we want to thank you. Father, if there's anybody here today that is going through a very difficult time, the storm of their life, and for whatever reason they haven't cried out to you like they should, Lord, I know you see them straining, and I know you're going to come to them, and I know, Lord, please encourage them as they do cry out like Jonah did, that, Lord, you will meet them exactly where they are. So I pray for that person or persons today, Lord, that are here or that are watching online. We ask that, Lord, you would just minister to these lives in such a way to let them know that you love them, you have compassion for them, and you're going to take them through just because you love them. So, Father, please bless them, strengthen them, and encourage them, I ask. In Jesus' precious name, amen.